Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 to 25, and that's on page 798 of your pew Bible. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophesy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the pipe or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me, and so it is with you. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that bring up the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the Spirit, how can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer say amen to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you are saying? You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you, but in the church I would rather speak five intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. In the law it is written, with other tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. But even then, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues, then, are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and brought under judgment by all, as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you.
Well, thank you, Aaron, for the scripture reading this morning. Good morning, church. Going to move this. Sorry, Christina. You'll sort it through after, right? Well, my name is Cameron, and I'm one of the pastors here at MCA Church, and it's my privilege to bring God's word this morning. Lost in translation. It's a feeling that we get when the speaker is saying something and the communication gets all jumbled up and the recipient doesn't quite get what was intended. Lost in translation. And it's something that often happens when we travel to a foreign context, if we've been overseas and in a place where someone's not speaking the same language as us. We can't read the signs. We're trying to figure out the basics, like where's the bathroom and, you know, where do I go? Things like that. And it's this feeling of uneasiness that creeps in. And so this morning, rather than just talk about being lost in translation, I might just tell a quick story that really illustrates a really good point about being lost in translation. So this one time, I was walking down the street, and then suddenly, Sebaidi, Jiao Sebaidi Ba, Koi Su Kam, Jiao Gamlang Het Yang, Oh Koi Gamlang Gin Kao. And then if you would all sign up right after the service, it would be awesome. Ah, no, just kidding. They're teasing, guys, teasing. I was speaking in the language of Laos, which is a southeastern language. And it's just to illustrate the point of being a bit lost in translation. In my earlier 20s, I did an overseas school internship where I got to go overseas and be a part of another culture, learn a language, learn about their culture, and just dive in. And it was partly teaching English, and it was partly working with a nonprofit overseas kind of missional organization. But I spent a lot of my time lost in translation because I was living in a host home and no one in that home spoke English. And I didn't speak Laos at that point. And so we spent a lot of time lost in translation. This morning, when it comes to this chapter on 1 Corinthians 14, many of us might feel a bit lost in translation. Like, what on earth is Paul saying here today? And as we jump back into our sermon series in 1 Corinthians, it might just be helpful to recap kind of what's going on. What is happening? Why is Paul writing these things to the Corinthian church? So at this time in the church in Corinth, several problems had kind of bubbled up. There was a good problem. The Spirit was upon the people in the church and manifesting himself in very different ways, very different ways. There was prophecy. There was gifts of tongue. There were miracles. Many, many exciting things were happening. But what happened from that, the Spirit was moving, some people thought, man, this new ability that God has given me suddenly to speak in this angelic language, it must mean I'm a super Christian. Awesome, I am a super Christian. I am so much better than you guys. Of course, this is what was happening in Corinth, and it resulted in disorder when they gathered to worship. It resulted in disorder when they gathered in their homes. People just be speaking in tongues, people be prophesying. There was no order. There was just a little bit of chaos. And so Paul is writing this today because many people in Corinth were feeling lost in translation. Lost. So it's helpful to kind of recap our context from 1 Corinthians and just kind of back up a bit and see how about a month ago, Pastor Keith, he preached a sermon on spiritual gifts. And the big idea about spiritual gifts is that spiritual gifts are for two things. They're for revealing Jesus, and they're for building up his church. Spiritual gifts, revealing Jesus, building up his church. That's chapter 12. And then Paul writes in chapter 13, pursue the way of love. It's great that you have these gifts, but if you're not pursuing the way of love, these gifts don't matter. And then Paul comes to chapter 14, and now he's going to talk about the gift of tongues, the gift of prophecy. So let's just say a quick prayer, and then we're going to dive into some of the text this morning. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the giver of good gifts. We thank you that you are building up your church and that you are revealing Jesus. Lord, help us to become like you. Help us to hear what you're saying to us today. Help us to understand these words in this text. Help us to be aware of how your Spirit is leading us this morning, Jesus. Give me the words to say to you, Lord. In your name, amen. Well, as I dive into the sermon this morning, I don't want you to be lost in translation, so I think we just need to take a quick time out and maybe just do a digression here that'll really help us today. And first we need to digress on two things. What is tongues and what is prophecy? And first, the gift of tongues, a little bit about the gift of tongues. Speaking in tongues is a genuine manifestation of God's grace. God's grace, and it's bestowed by the Holy Spirit. And this is a spiritual ability. It's God's grace. It's God's gift where people can speak a new language, whether it be a heavenly language or an earth, some people say earthly language. And Paul says it himself in 1 Corinthians 13, when he's saying, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels. So there's a little bit there. And again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, listing the spiritual gifts, Paul lists speaking in different kinds of tongues. So what is the gift of tongues? If you've got your Bible, we're going to be in the text a lot today, so it'd be a good idea to grab it and flip it open to 1 Corinthians 14 if you're not there already. First, a little bit about the tongues. What does the Apostle Paul say about this spiritual gift? Well, first, so we see in verse 2, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. So big idea, speaking in tongues is speaking to God in praise and in prayer. It's communicating by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And important to note, too, that we see in this text where Paul teaches us here a bit, that the person who speaks in tongues does not just blurt out randomly, but they can choose to speak in tongues or they can choose to speak in their language. Next, speaking in tongues, it's speaking mysteries of the Spirit. We see this in verse 2 as well as verse 14. It's communicating in the spiritual dimension to God in a way that perhaps our mind doesn't comprehend or bypasses the mind and the understanding. And it's speaking mysteries. It could be speaking mysteries of the nature of the gospel or the nature of God. We don't quite know. It's a bit of speaking mysteries unless it's interpreted. And lastly, about the gift of tongues, it's speaking to strengthen the self. We see a bit of this in this text here. It's speaking because when you speak in tongues, in a mysterious way, it builds up your faith as an individual with your relationship with God. It's interesting, too, that Paul, he doesn't downplay this gift. He doesn't, like, poo-poo this gift. But he says in verse 5, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. But he also holds that intention for the people in Corinth because they were getting a little bit boastful, a little bit proud of some of their spiritual gifts. And so in verse 18, Paul kind of holds them in check. He says, well, guys, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. In other words, don't get too prideful on this gift. So we talked about a little bit what tongues is. Let's talk about what tongues is not. What tongues is not. First, it's not the sign that you are super spiritual. This is the reason why Paul is writing this, is because people in the church in Corinth had thought, man, I can speak in the tongue of angels. I must be like that much up there, and God must be just a little bit higher. I am so high up there. Paul is saying, no, it's better to speak 5 words that are understandable when you're gathered in community than 10,000 words in tongues. So tongues isn't wrong, but when we're gathered, it's better to speak in a way that understands. Secondly, what tongues is not. This is important for our Alliance context and what we believe today. Tongues is not the sign that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. This is important for our Alliance distinctive today. We do not believe that if you speak in tongues, it equals you have the Holy Spirit. Some people may believe that. That is fine. But for our Alliance distinctive, we're pretty clear that it's not the definitive sign that you are filled by the Holy Spirit. If someone comes to me and they're like, am I filled with the Holy Spirit? I might point them to the spiritual gifts or the spiritual fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Do you have love? Do you have joy? Do you have peace? Maybe that would be a better indicator of the light of the work of the Spirit in your life, if you're wondering, am I filled with the Spirit? So nowhere does Paul say that this is the official sign that people are filled with the Holy Spirit. Something else that's important for us today about tongues is Paul says, when you're gathered and someone is speaking in tongues, that person should ask God, God, help me to interpret this. Give me the gift of interpretation. Or someone in the community should have that gift of interpretation so that what is being said can be understood. If I come up here and I speak in Laos, it's really no good for you because I'm guessing no one here knows how to speak Laos. But if I come up here and I speak in English and say something like, God is good, you can say amen all the time. You can join in. And so that's what Paul is saying here for us today. Well, that's a little bit about the gift of tongues. Secondly, we kind of need to figure out what is prophecy? What is Paul talking about when he speaks about prophecy? And I think just a quick survey, when we look at the Old Testament, we see how the prophet in the Old Testament, it was really a forth teller. It was someone who was receiving what God was saying to the people or the community. And like we have Isaiah and Jeremiah, all these major prophets and minor prophets in the Old Testament, they're speaking to the community about what God is saying at that point in time. So it's speaking God's thoughts and words to a current situation. In the Old Testament, the role of prophet was really like this official office. Like it was like the prophet. And it was an official position, the spokesman for God. But when we come to the New Testament, and Jesus comes and he fulfills many of these Old Testament roles. He fulfills the Old Testament role of prophet. He fulfills the Old Testament role of priest. He fulfills the Old Testament role of king. Prophecy starts to take a new shape in the New Testament. And that's really important for us today. One of the best definitions of prophecy that we have, it comes from the book of Revelations. Revelations chapter 19. I'm just going to read this out for you because it's really important, but you might want to write it down. Revelations chapter 19. Verse 10, NIV, it says, "For it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus." For it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus. All right, we're getting a bit of an inkling there. Sometimes I like to have a few different Bible translations on hand because it really helps me read and understand what God is saying. And so I flip to the New Living Translation, and I like what this says here, so I'm going to read it out too. The New Living Translation says, "For the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus." The essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. So let's turn now to the context of 1 Corinthians 14, and there's some good stuff that Paul is saying about prophecy in here for us today. So what does Paul say to the Corinthian church about prophecy? First, in verses 3 and 4, it's pretty clear. Prophecy is speaking to strengthen the church. Prophecy is speaking to strengthen the church. Paul says, "You can speak in tongues, but I would rather you speak and prophesy. The one who prophesies, edifies the church. It builds up the church." Second thing about prophecy is it's speaking to encourage or comfort another. We see that pretty clear in verse 3, don't we? The one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, comfort. And so prophecy, in a way, it builds up the individual. It can build up the church, and it can build up the individual member of the church. And lastly, here's something really interesting from this text today. Prophecy is speaking to evangelize. Prophecy is speaking to evangelize. Where do we see this? Let's look, if you've got your Bible open, to verse 23 to 25. And I'm just going to read it out, and then we're going to talk about that. "So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and brought under judgment by all as the secrets of their heart are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, 'God is really among you.'" Wow. Powerful. That's amazing. So what is Paul saying here in this text? What would someone reading this in the context of Corinth, what would they think? How would they interpret this? Well, I think first it's important to note that when we look at this, and Paul says if there's a group of people speaking in tongues and someone comes in, they'll think, wow, these people are out of their mind. But the first century reader, the picture that Paul is painting is of someone coming into a religious experience. And they're coming into this religious experience. They've heard about these Christians, and he's coming in, and they're seeing that, wow, they're speaking all weird and different languages. And so what Paul is saying is that person would think, this is no different than the other religions, the other followings of that day. In that day, many people would gather and have some sort of like religious experience or ecstasy. That was very common in that culture as they pursued spiritual things. And so people would come and they would maybe see the Christians and they would think, wow, this is no different than the cult of Diana or the other followings of religion or cults that they had in that day. But Paul is saying this, if someone comes into your gathering and God is revealing himself through his people and God is speaking truth and God is prophesying through the spiritual gift through people and truth is being revealed to each other, the person who comes into that gathering will be convicted. The person who comes into that gathering will be seeing Jesus and God in a whole new way, such that they fall down and worship God. Very powerful, very powerful. So, prophecy is speaking to evangelize. A few other important notes about prophecy this morning. Verse 1, we're told to desire this gift. We're told to desire this gift. Second, it appears that this gift, according to this text, is available to everyone. Paul says things like, if all prophesy, if all the community is prophesying, it seems like it's available to everyone, not just the spiritual elite, not just a prophet in the group. It seems like it's available to everyone. So when we look at this text, What is Paul saying to the Corinthian church? What is Paul saying today? And Paul is saying very specifically to the Corinthian church, guys, when you gather and there's disorder and chaos, it's not glorifying to God. It's not revealing Jesus. It's not building up the church. And so Paul says, here's the solution, guys. Pursue love. Pursue love. And in that framework of love, seek spiritual things. Seek the spiritual gifts, especially prophecy, because prophecy builds up the church. Well, I want to just pause there and just share a personal story of how this kind of relates in my life over the last number of months. And many of you know our youngest son, Jude. He was born with some DNA missing on one of his chromosomes, and he's had on and off health challenges through his life. But it's been amazing how God has been faithful, God is revealing himself, and God is helping us on that journey, as well as manifesting himself with healing for my son along the way. So a few weeks ago, I was able to share with the church that my son experienced a healing, a very subtle but profound healing of his microcephaly condition, so his head wasn't growing for about a year, and then God moved in a powerful way, and his head is growing again. His development's really picked up. It's absolutely amazing, very exciting to see it. So prior to that, we had two independent people come to us and give us a bit of a prophecy, a bit of a prophetic message. And what is prophecy? To strengthen, to build up, to encourage. So we had two people come, different times, different days, different people, didn't know each other either. First person had a bit of a vision that God was healing someone's DNA, and it was amazing. So they kind of said, hey, I think this vision might be for you guys, and I'm going to leave it with you guys. I'm going to leave it with you so that you can interpret that. And then another person kind of had a dream that they were praying over a little boy's head, praying over a little boy's head, but they didn't know who that little boy was until they met us at prayer week. That happened about a month ago at our church. And so these two things, what they did is they strengthened us in our faith. They strengthened my wife and I. They built us up. And so we shared that with the community that we're journeying with. We shared that with the people that we're praying with for my son. And then, lo and behold, not long after that, my son experienced this very subtle but profound healing where his head is starting to grow again. Absolutely amazing. So this is just a little bit of what this gift of prophecy can look like, what it can look like in our daily life as people submit something to us, and then we interpret it in a community, and then go from there. So this morning, church, hopefully you're not lost in translation. Still tracking, still following. Very technical message today, but it's very, very important for us, church. Very important as we seek to reveal Jesus and build each other up. So what is God saying to us today? What does this chapter mean for us today? And I want to propose that God is calling us to two very specific things today. First, God is calling us to a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. A life empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, when we look at this, the early church in Corinth, it must have been exciting to see how God was manifesting himself and revealing himself, and signs and wonders and miracles were happening, and prophecy and tongues, like a lot of excitement. Very cool things were happening. God was very much active in that church. The living God was dwelling in the community. Today, when we look at this text and we think about church today, it seems like we're kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum sometimes, aren't we? But here's where I want to go. Here's why I believe God is calling us to a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's because when you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And when we gather as a community of believers, the living God dwells in our midst. And God is alive, and God is active, and God is moving in our midst. There's a real organic side to this. There's a real organic side when we gather as empower groups, when we gather as like women's and men's ministry, and when we gather as the church on Sundays to worship and celebrate. A real organic side. And God is using each one of us as the living temple. Each one of us is the living stone that he puts into the temple. It's not like carpet. Carpet is lifeless and inanimate, and, well, maybe you don't even like the color of this carpet. I'm not much of a fan for it either. Carpet is totally lifeless. But when we gather as the church, there's something totally different. Something totally different. The living God is dwelling in our midst. And that's why Paul is saying, when you gather and you prophesy, and someone comes in, they're going to be like, wow, this is unlike anything else that is out there. The living God is truly in your midst. So if Paul were writing this to us today, and he's writing like the letter to the churches of Kelowna, and what might he say? I think he might say, church, step into a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. Leave your worldly ways behind and step into a life of the Spirit. Embrace and be empowered by the Spirit. Well, second thing I really believe God is calling us today, specifically as we look at this passage and specifically for our church today. And we see this again and again in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. But God is calling us to spiritual gifts. God is calling us to spiritual gifts. Remember, gifts, spiritual gifts are revealing Jesus, building up his church. And I think God is really calling us today to this idea of prophecy, to this gift of prophecy, strengthening people, encouraging people, building people up. We see that God wants to give good gifts to his children. Paul exhorts us. Verse 1, follow the way of love. Eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Especially prophecy. Maybe today we just need to ask our good Father for good gifts. So, MCA Church, I want to ask a question, and I don't want it to be shaming. I want to ask it in love as a pastor, and I'm not asking this to shame. MCA Church, rhetorical question, do you know what your spiritual gift is? Do you know how God has uniquely wired you and wants to use you in the body of our church and in the groups to build each other up and reveal Jesus? Do you know how God wants to use you? I think today that might be a hard question for a lot of us. And that's why we want to keep encouraging you to step into life of the Spirit and step into groups that are worshiping, groups that are serving, our empower groups, because in these contexts, God is going to manifest himself in a way that perhaps you haven't seen before. And your fellow believers who are in a group with you, they can call out, hey, I see something, I see God doing something in you. That's amazing. That's a spiritual gift. This is how we do it. So today, God wants to build up his church. God wants Jesus to be revealed. The Christian journey is not a solo journey of my individual walk and it's just me and God, but rather it revolves around a community of believers who are journeying together, building each other up in faith. We can't do it without spiritual gifts, and we can't do this without a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. So today, what is perhaps holding us back? What prevents us from stepping into life of the Spirit? What prevents us from maybe journeying in these spiritual gifts? Let me just propose two things that might be holding us back today. First is bad experiences, maybe especially with the gift of prophecy. Maybe you've had bad experiences. Maybe someone's come up to you and said, God told me to tell you. You notice the finger, it's really much in there. I don't think that's the way that Paul would have us do that. My friend, a lifelong friend who I've journeyed with my whole life, a good friend, we went to school together, we grew up together. When my friend and I were in grade 6, my friend's mom got cancer. And they were very much part of a faith community, very active in that faith community. And several people came up to my friend's mom, and they said, God told me to tell you, he's going to heal you, you're going to be better. In grade 7, my friend's mom died. It's a bad experience, hard experience. It's a bad experience for the person that felt like God was nudging them, and it's a bad experience for the person who received what someone was assuming and telling. And I'm not denying that maybe there was something there. I don't know. But my point this morning is this, is that that's not the way that Paul and the Bible outlines the gift of prophecy. It's not for us to be like, God's telling me to tell you. It's more a process of revelation. We feel like the Holy Spirit's leading us. We feel like God's telling us to do something. We bring that to a community to interpret. We humbly submit perhaps what God is saying. We submit what God is leading us in. And we say, hey, I think this might be for you, but maybe pray about it and ask your mentor, ask your Bible study group, ask them to pray about this and lead you in it. And then from there, it's really up to that person to apply what God is saying. What God is saying. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not, maybe the Spirit resonates with them and they apply it. So a very important biblical process that's laid out for us is revelation. God's revealing something to us for someone. We bring that to them and a community to interpret. And from there, the person has the freedom to choose, yeah, that's from God, or no, I don't think that's from God. I don't need that. So again, very important process. Second thing that might be holding us back today from walking in the Spirit and spiritual gifts is perhaps fearing the things of the Spirit. Perhaps you are here today and you're like, I like my little box. I like what's in there. I got my schedule. I got my routine. I got my stapler. Everything's all set. I don't need anything else. And this spiritual stuff about the Holy Spirit, it just scares me. You know, it's just a little bit too much. I don't know what's going to happen. May I suggest today to you that God's power is only ever used for love. God's power is only used for good. So God creates the whole universe, creates the world, creates human beings, everything. And Genesis 1, what does it say? It is good. God frees his people from Egyptian slavery. He frees them God is good. In the New Testament, the power of God raises Jesus from the dead. God is good. His power is only used for love. So if you're today, you're kind of thinking, oh man, this spiritual stuff about God and the Holy Spirit's a little bit scary for me. Don't worry. God's power is only used for love. At this point, we just have a few quick next steps, like about where we can go from here. Where can we go from here? I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but our empower groups are our midweek gatherings. And these are really the place where you can come, you can journey together in fellowship, you can learn more about God, and secondly, you can start to experience the life that God has for you. It's in the context of a group that is loving, serving, worshiping, praying. That's where God's going to manifest. That's where God's going to give you new spiritual gifts that will reveal Jesus and build each other up. Second, maybe today you are here and you're thinking, wow, I think I might have this gift, or maybe I wish I did and I want to ask God for it. Good. But if you're here today and you're thinking, maybe God is calling me to a bit of a prophetic ministry, or maybe God is really wanting to use me with this gift of prophecy to build up his church, I want you to know that there's various discipleship opportunities that we have at MCA Church for you to grow in these gifts. And so specifically, if you're here today and this is really resonating, don't leave. Maybe catch me after. I'd love to help you grow in this gift so that we can reveal Jesus and we can build up the church. And finally, Mother's Day. It is Mother's Day, right? So how on earth does 1 Corinthians 14 connect to Mother's Day, right? Well, don't worry. Don't worry. It's good. It's good. Here's something how this message applies to Mother's Day. And this is something that my wife and I are learning to practice in our home as we send our kids out for the day. So my wife and I are learning to prophesy over our kids. Remember, what is prophecy? Strengthening, encouraging, building up, revealing Jesus. So as my kids go to school, we often ask, God, do you have something for me to encourage or build up my son today as he goes to school? Do you have something for me to say to my daughter as she goes off to preschool? Because once she's gone out of the house, the world has various ways of telling her about herself. The world's going to tell her identity. The world's going to have temptations. I want to start when they're young. I want to start when they're young and build them up in their faith. And so how it looks like is this, is often I'm walking my son to school, or often I'm driving my son to school, and I'll just say a quick prayer in my head, and then I'll tell my son, if I don't feel like God's told me something specific, I'll just tell my son, you know what, I love you, and you know what, bud, God's your dad in heaven, and he's crazy about you, and you know what, you don't have to earn his love, he just loves you no matter what. And I'll just leave him, let him go, right? Just a little quick thing. Just build him up for that day. Build him up for that day. So moms, this is your calling. Spiritual parents, this is your calling. Build up the people in the faith that are under your care. This morning, as we close and wind down, God doesn't want you lost in translation. God is saying, pursue the way of love. And in that framework, seek the things of the Spirit. Ask for the gift of prophecy, even today. Because prophecy, it builds up the church. As we close this morning, I'm just going to leave a minute or two for you just to pray quietly and just invite God to speak to you this morning. And we'll leave it to the Spirit, and he'll speak. And the worship team's going to play.